Yo. Welcome back. It's been a while, but we got to give you what you need. 94feetoflife.com for my Facebook heads. If you going to do it for the book, you can find us on the page. Like the page. Join the group. We got a group and a page. Get them both in. Also, if you doing it for the gram, you can find us on 94feetoflife. In addition, if your Twitter game strong, we got to put you on 94feetoflife. Or 94FLL Hoops for the Twitter. Had to do a little remix on that one to make sure we get it in. But check this out, man. We are back like we never left on this anchor. We thank you for the fans that we have that have been tuning in. That we haven't been hitting y'all with something so late, but we got time right now. So it's just me right now. M dropped the J because the fadeaway perfect. But guess what? We about to get it in. So what we're going to talk about is this season, man. This has been a long, drawn-out offseason. Let me just go ahead and catch y'all up with the timeline real quick if you've been under a rock or you've been a caveman for, like, the last, I don't know, 6 months of your life. So, obviously, the Golden State Warriors won. They went on ahead and picked up DeMarcus Cousins, which is crazy. Toronto and San Antonio did probably one of the most pivotal trades I've seen for the whole offseason by trading Kawhi Leonard and Danny Green to Toronto, and Spurs in exchange got DeMar DeRozan and Jakob Poeltl. I think both sides win in that trade. We're going to go into that a little bit later. And for the most part, it's just been nonstop trolling, a lot of questions. I'm not going to pump this season up. I'm just going to keep it real with you. If DeMarcus Cousins come back 80% by the playoffs, it's a wrap for everybody. Let's just put that out there. So it's pretty much Golden State against the field. But the East is real interesting because everybody's real quick to pick up Boston, which is cool. I like Boston. But the thing that I'm looking at with Boston is they might suffer from the me disease. And what I mean is, it's not that these guys are selfish, because they're not. Brad Stevens does an excellent job of coaching. But after a while, you start to look at the pieces and you're like, okay, you got a lot of pieces that are doing the same things and all require minutes. So when I look at Gordon Hayward and he's coming back, great player, average 25-5. If you remember what he did against Utah, or what he did at Utah, if you remember, he had the ball in his hands a lot. He was orchestrating the pick and roll. Well, you got about four people on the team that can do that. You know, everybody talks about his shooting. I think he's a great mid-range shooter, but I think he's a little overrated when it comes to the three-point shot. He don't hit a lot of those. In fact, everything that Gordon Hayward doing is that can do, everything that Gordon Hayward can do, Jason Tatum can do right now at age 19. So starting him and Tatum at the same time, along with Kyrie Irving, along with Jaylen Brown, who also had a nice coming out party last year with Al Horford, that's five guys that really need the rock. Which is fine. I know Brad Stevens could figure it out. But it's just a little bit different when you have that situation, because everybody is afraid to step on each other's toes. And it can definitely cause stagnant offense. Because do I go? Do I run the play? Do I call my own number? And you start to see that a little bit in the preseason. Do I think they'll figure it out? Absolutely. But right now, even if they do figure it out, I have a hard time seeing them beat Toronto. Yes, Toronto. People got to remember, Toronto was the number one seed last year. Now they got Kawhi Leonard, who is a top five player in this league, and he's healthy, with Danny Green. So now you have the potential of having a top five defense in the NBA. With Fred VanVleet, who I thought is probably one of the more important players in the league that nobody talks about, has a plus 12, plus or minus. Fourth in the league in that. Only behind Chris Paul, Steph Curry, and Eric Gordon. So, it's a lot going on right now. This league is going to be interesting, especially in the Eastern Conference. Not to mention, we still got Philly. So, I want you to hold that thought, because we're going to talk a little bit about Philly as well. But after these messages, we're going to be right back. So y'all bear with me. I got time today. Check, man. Final note. Numbers don't lie, but the people who use them do.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I got time today, man. I got plenty of time today. if we're gonna talk, man, we gonna bring the word of today is substance. We're going to bring substance today. I got plenty of time to put out.
And we are back. Y'all thought I was going to leave you there early. Nah, we back, we back, we back. 94 Feet of Life. Again, if you just tuning in, man, check us out on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. We live out here, baby. We getting it in. So, picking up where we left off. Yeah, Philly, man. I like Philly a lot. Thing about Philly is they're young. And when I mean that they're young, that means that's code for I don't think they can play defense at a playoff level for four games out of seven against the two teams that we just mentioned. Ben Simmons is a monster waiting to happen, and B is literally going to change the game back to the old school by himself, because while everybody is trying to get all of these small dudes that can get that can do guard things or even seven-footers that can do guard things, when Embiid decides to go down low, who's really going to stop him? So I think eventually it's going to be a push to be able to bring the traditional big man back in to be able to guard him. The only problem is he can shoot threes, he can dribble, he can attack, he can do a lot of things. He's special. So he's going to change the game back to how it used to be. I really believe that. Right now, there's not too many matchups out there for him, which allows him to be able to do what he does best, which is dominate. Thing about it is, I just don't know what happens when they run up against a Boston, and Boston has just a lot of people to throw at them. I don't know what happens when, if Ben Simmons is not hitting his shot, or if he's found a post game during this offseason that's going to be interesting. If he did, then we got something special there. Those are the next steps for both of them got to take. I think Embiid, even though you can make the three, I'll minimize those if I was him and just really just focus on attacking the basket, because there's really nobody that can stop him down there. And Ben Simmons is a 6'11 point guard, so I think he shouldn't rely so much on his speed and just get to his spots and kill. I like Magic Johnson. They pretty much got Magic Johnson and Hakeem Olajuwon on the same team, as crazy as that sounds. So you would think eventually they're going to figure it out. They're just young, you know? So it's pretty much a three-headed race. I don't see any teams beating any of those individuals. And to be real, I got Toronto in the finals, but I think the team that gets in the finals is going to be the team that don't have to play each other in the semifinals. So let's say Toronto get the one seed, Boston get two, Philly get three. I think Boston and Philly beats up on each other, and then they're going to be very fatigued for Toronto. Or vice versa. If Boston get the one seed, Toronto get the two, and Philly get the three, or Philly get the two, Toronto get the three. I think, you know, those teams will have to expound so much energy to where they may not have enough in the tank for that Eastern Conference final. So really my take on the Eastern Conference. So let's move quick to the Western Conference. Obviously, a few things happen. LeBron going to the Lakers, that's huge. A lot of pieces that don't fit. Got a lot of playmakers. I'm interested to see if LeBron chases Kareem as far as the all-time leading scorer, because he got a lot of guys who can be able to get him the ball in places where he don't have to work as hard. But LeBron is great at what he do. He's incredible at orchestrating the offense, as is Rondo. Lance Stephenson is a great playmaker. Lonzo Ball was drafted to be a playmaker. So you got pretty much four guys on the team who can conduct the offense. Then you got Brandon Ingram, who is a budding star. Kyle Kuzma, do he take a step forward or do he take a step backwards because of all of the individuals? There's a lot of questions there. Houston, I think, got better. Whether you like or hate Carmelo, I mean, Carmelo being a fourth option on any team is something you just really want to take a good look at. Or being a third or fourth option, I should say. I know it was a little difficult in OKC. But with OKC, it was a different style of play. This is more up and down, more run and gun. Maybe we get to see flashes of hoodie metal with Houston because they're trying to run 7 seconds or less. So all of that sounds good on paper. Like San Antonio, and I like OKC as well. I even like Utah. All of those teams sound good on paper. But again, if DeMarcus Cousins is 80% healthy, he don't even got to be all the way healthy. If he's 80% healthy, it's a wrap. Because the one way you can beat the Golden State Warriors is by making it rumble tumble and making them play one-on-one. Now they got two dudes who could dominate the one-on-one position. Or actually three. So yeah, it's a wrap for that. But we're going to take another quick commercial break, man. We're going to be right back, though. Holla.
But keep watching. Don't let this television tell y'all vision, man.
And we're back. Welcome back, 94 Feet of Life. We're getting it in right now. It's ugly. Shouts out to the commercials and the breakdowns. As you can see, we like to put little snippets of shows that we like to do. More of those coming soon. But back to the lecture at hand. We're talking about the Western Conference. Pretty much it's Golden State versus the field. I mean, you could say that just for the rest of the league, actually. It's a wrap if DeMarcus Cousins is right, mainly because what Houston did last year, they were able to get underneath Golden State's skin and make them play a little bit out of character. Wasn't a lot of ball player movement. Everybody was trying to do their thing because, you know, Houston played that hood, street ball, $1,000 on the line defense. Like, it wasn't no help side. It wasn't no principles. Man up, guard your man, on the pick, switch everything, guard your man, he don't beat you. And that's just it. And Golden State fell for it. I don't think they fall for it again, but that's kind of the chink they showed in their armor. If you can make them frustrated, play one-on-one, get away from the beautiful ball movement, player movement that they do, then you might have an opportunity. You might have a shot. But the problem now is you bring a bully like DeMarcus Cousins. You really want to guard him one-on-one? Who's really ready for that assignment? I mean, Clint Capella, you know, is a great defender, but I don't think he can handle DeMarcus Cousins. He got too good of a combination of power and balance and skill. Meaning he knows how to, you know, bully ball you, but he never loses his balance. So if you try to pull the chair underneath him, he's still going to finish. And he's still going to, you know, be able to balance it. And most importantly, he can get involved into their offense without disrupting anything because he knows how to pick and pop. He can catch and shoot. He likes to catch and shoot. He can actually drive out of the perimeter. It's not as fast, but he doesn't have to be fast because he's so wide that you're not going to get around him. And his handle is good enough to where he can get where he wants to go. So you got that going. You have KD going, who is probably the most unstoppable player we have ever seen in this generation. I mean, there really is no answer for him. And if you just break it down from a number standpoint, he shoots 50% from everywhere on the floor, except for three, in which he shoots 43%. That's contested, uncontested. What do you do? There isn't anything you can do with that, which means every place he take a shot at, it's got a 50% chance of going in. Or 40% chance of going in, which is still where you want to be at from a three-point line because it's worth an extra point. So if you shoot three threes, you want to hit at least one of them. You'll get the 3 points that you need for the 1 point per possession. Just a little jewel to drop there. But if you're hitting 40% of those, you're actually averaging more points per possession the more threes you shoot. And then we got Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, speaking of threes, probably the two best shooters on the planet, who is just waiting in the whims and could create for their own if they want to. Klay is very underrated in the post and also driving against his position. He can get to the basket too. He just don't need to. So they perfectly fit and complement each other. So that's why I just stated if DeMarcus does what he's supposed to do, oh my goodness, it's going to be ugly. But during the season, you're going to see them definitely get challenged all season because DeMarcus is not coming back until about March, February-ish. There's no need to rush him back. I like OKC. I think OKC is going to be a great defensive team. I think it's addition by subtraction. Paul George and Russell Westbrook, they get 16 extra shots now that Melo's gone. I'm sure that they'll do right by those. Westbrook finally gets the team that he wants. He gets his sidekick who is good enough to take over a game, but also lets him be the alpha dog. The other players, they love playing defense for him, or they just love playing defense in general. They'll catch and finish everything. It's his team now. He has no excuse. This is the type of team that he always wanted. He has it now. We'll see what he does. San Antonio, Now that they got DeMar DeRozan with LaMarcus Aldridge, I think those guys need each other because neither one of them was a number one option to the point where they can get you a championship ring, but they were really good at what they do. So you combine those together, now we're looking at, you know, two guys who can hit tough shots at any given moment, and you surround them by shooters and the best coach arguably ever to coach the game in Popovich. We got something there. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a nice chess match, because what I like about this season is everybody has found their lane and they're just staying in it as opposed to trying to mimic what the champions are doing. We'll be right back.
That's dope, man. That's dope. I'm gonna let everybody else get one more in before we change the direction as to what you're doing now, because this is just a dope conversation and I wish it could stay forever, but we're gonna keep it moving.
I ain't got no time limit, man.
Oh my man, you should have never told me that. Hey man, how y'all phone looking right now? Everybody charged up? I will go to sleep on this call. Don't do that.
Because, you know, the whole hoodie Melo craze that happened over the summer, you know, when Melo had the hoodie on and playing pickup games, he just seemed like he was just invincible. Well, we got alter egos too here in 94, and they starting to come to fruition. Trav, when he has time, is a whole different Trav. Time having Trav is the Trav you don't want. You don't want time having Trav. You don't want pissed off Ron. You don't want a pissed off Big Shot. You don't want to catch Ham in his kitchen. You just don't.
No.
He's different. And you don't want to catch me tipsy. It's just...
No.
It's just certain things. It's just not a good look. The best thing that has happened to 94 Feet, best thing or the worst thing that's happened to 94 Feet is I haven't been tipsy on the podcast for like 2 months. That's the best thing that could have happened to the people. And the worst.
But if you listen to our anchor right now, it's coming.
Oh, it's Christmas time.
Exactly. And there you go.
It's only a matter of time before a zebra goes show its stripes. Come on.
Right.
I am who right. I am.